comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. You know, hardly a week goes by but what I hear or read one particular question. And it's almost always expressed by someone who's exasperated and even angry. And the question is, what's wrong with those people in Washington, D.C.? Have they all lost their minds? Well, regardless of your political views, as you know, this show is not about politics, and we won't be getting into politics. But regardless of your political views, I think it's probable that almost everyone in this country, in America, has asked that question, if not out loud, if not in writing, you've asked it of yourself, to yourself, at some time or another. What's wrong with those people in Washington, D.C.? Have they all lost their minds? And, you know, I think all of us probably noticed that there seems to be a dramatic difference between our elected officials when they come back home to their home districts. There's a difference, a dramatic difference between them when they're at home and those same people once they step foot inside the Beltway and are once again in Washington, D.C. There seems to just be a very visible and tangible, palpable, dramatic difference between them there and at home. Some people have called that the Beltway fever. My guest tonight has some interesting information and suggestions for possibly what could cause that, and it's pretty dramatic itself. His name is Robert Stanley, and he'll be joining us in just a little bit. The Beltway fever, is it real? Does something actually happen to these people once they get to Washington, D.C., once they are in the city? Well, we're going to talk about that and more in just a little bit. Are you subscribed to our K-Files? That's our free weekly newsletter. Look, if you're not subscribed, there's no genius in being able to say, well, I didn't subscribe to it. Okay, so what? No genius in that, though, because it's free. And it's good. And I invite you to expend a few molecules of energy to go to my website and click that link that says K-Files and subscribe. You'll get an automatic email that has a link in it that you have to click in order to activate your subscription. Do that and you'll start getting it. And then you get it. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and my guest this evening is Robert Stanley. Robert actually has just completed being on the air on his own show, and he's joining us this evening, having just come off the air already, and I appreciate him for doing that. Now, in addition to being a host of his own radio show, Robert is a researcher, investigator, author, and has written some, very seminal books about the UFO phenomena as it occurs in the Washington, D.C. area and as it has been occurring for a long time in the Washington, D.C. area. And his second book, which we're going to kind of focus on tonight, also includes some really strange information about what may be causing what lots of people call Beltway fever. Robert Stanley joining us from his studio. Welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Robert, covert encounters in Washington, D.C. This is it's a big book.
It's a big topic, yeah, and I know it scares some people. I find it a bit intimidating myself. As I told you off the air, the conclusion is not something that I'm comfortable with. I almost didn't want to publish it, but I felt like it would be unfair of me to censor the information as I found it. Okay, I really didn't have an agenda. I was just following the information where it led. Mm-hmm. And as you can tell by, I hope you got a chance to read part of it.
Yeah,
I know you
yeah,
saw it
I
yesterday.
Did.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah. Now, folks, let me tell you this right now. I will also say this a couple of times more. You can get a sample of this book, an extract, free of charge. You can download it, and or you can read it online. But what you do, go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. Under that picture is a link that says Show Info. Some of you already know about that. Some of you never scroll, so you never find anything. But if you go looking around, you find all kinds of great stuff at the Kevin Smith Show website. And if you click that link that says Show Info, a little window opens, and there's a link in that window. It's a little blurb about tonight's show, and there's a link where you can read a sample, an extract from the book, online, free of charge, and you owe it to yourself to do that. Now, Robert, we've talked some the last time you were here about material that's in this book, and you mentioned, just sort of in passing, mm-hmm. you mentioned what I want to kick off with here tonight, and that is this Beltway fever thing, and it's a phenomena that made its way into the book about yeah. covert encounters. Now, before we get into what that is, let me just ask you, how did that get into this book? When this book seems to be pretty much about UFOs,
right? Well, because as I was doing historic research on Washington, D.C., trying to find any clues about the city proper, and there's some weird ones, as you can tell by what you've read in the conclusion. Ancient tunnel systems, demonic possession. I mean, just satanic activity. And I thought, wow, I'm surprised. Like every time I dig into this subject, I always find something new, and it's shocking mm-hmm. and actually quite disturbing, as I was trying to allude to before. So I came across that. It started with the fact that the movie The Exorcist is based on a true story that was published in the papers there in D.C. in 1948, I believe. It was a 13-year-old boy who was actually being possessed, and the Catholic Church had intervened. So, you know, when I first saw that, I thought, wait a minute, I don't remember hearing this anywhere else. And as I looked further, I found that there were other examples of demons in Washington, D.C., or people being possessed, even up into modern day. So I thought, okay, there's a satanic thing going on. The Catholic Church seems to know about it. And, you know, one thing led to another. And that's how I found out that this is typically referred to, I mean, by people who don't really know enough. They just generally call it Potomac or Beltway fever, when a person's personality changes after they've been in D.C. for a period of time.
All right, so when we talk about that, this Potomac fever or Beltway fever, is that something that has been noticed?
Yeah.
But for a long time, or is that a kind of a recent thing?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a date for you as far as when that terminology first came up. But even the native people that were living there felt that there was something, there was another presence going on. I mean, from what little I could find about them, because they were pretty much eradicated, they talk about some sort of other entity that was watching over them. I don't know if it was benevolent or not, but apparently there was these guys, whoever the native people there, they were really big into sorcery. So it's again, we really don't know, because they didn't leave a lot of records and we can't talk to them. But I do think that there is there's rumors abound that there was these ancient tunnel systems there before they even built the city. I was looking, when I looked into that, I mean, it was really intriguing, because we know that in modern times that the government has built tunnel systems running in all directions from Washington, D.C., probably to the underground cities that surround that area. And I believe there's at least 90 of them from what I could research. But wouldn't it be interesting that the government actually didn't have to build those tunnels per se, that they just modified an ancient tunnel system that was there prior to the city even being built? And like I said, when I really started digging into it, I couldn't verify it per se. But my journalism partner, Mr. Allen, he had talked to some people, because he lives in the city, and he actually introduced me to a dentist who had been there for some years, and he told me, oh yeah, he years ago had been shown by a janitor in the building where he was renting an office, a doorway that opened up into one of these tunnels that was completely modern, that ran under the streets of Washington, D.C.
Okay, what do you mean completely modern?
It was, you could drive in it. They had these small, golf cart kind of vehicles that you could drive around down there. Mm-hmm. Now, this wasn't classified as part of the government system. This was something really old. I mean, it had been around, the guy, the dentist, the oral surgeon that told me about this said that the guy who showed him was probably in his 70s. He said that he'd been using those tunnels since he was a young man. So clearly people in D.C. know about there's a one level of tunnel that can be used under the streets for these businesses, to service the businesses. That we know the government has had them for many years, and in fact, under the Obama administration, they actually, some disclosure, they actually said, you know, here's where some of the entrances are in the White House to these tunnel systems, and they run in all directions. A censored map, a cleaned up map of them. I mean, not showing much detail, but it was, I did find a map, posted it on my website, but what I found really interesting was an ancient map of, an older map of Washington, D.C. before it was built. The various farms or landowners that were there, one of them, it said Burns Discovery. And it just happens to be on the map very close to where it was rumored that this is where Hélène Font, the French architect that you know, had a hand in the early development of the city. He allegedly was taken down there by this farmer, Burns, and his children showed him how to get into this fissure, and they get in and they look, and the guy's, you know, blown away by this, because it wasn't just a natural cave. It looked like the walls had been plastered over, and the tunnels, well, they didn't say how far the tunnel system went, but it appeared to be not natural. So, you know,
and this is before the city was even designed.
Right, right, right. And like I said, there's a lot of rumors that this is well known. It was well known to the planners of the city and obviously the landowners.
All right. Now, this Potomac fever, I ask you how far back this goes, and you said you don't know exactly how far back it goes, but from the best of your memory of the research, mm-hmm. Does it go back many decades?
Oh, yeah, sure. Once they had developed the city to incorporate these hyper-dimensional geometric designs, I believe that's when the circuit was complete. And I mean like a circuit board. I was just looking at it again today. DCStreetSorcery.com will actually give you, and I warn people, it is a very much a fundamentalist Christian interpretation, but nonetheless, they do a very good analysis of the geometry that's incorporated into the city, and it is hyperdimensional. I mean, it's not just basic stuff with symbolism, although the symbolism is quite telling. Okay, a lot of people said no, there's no pentagram in the streets because it's broken, it's not complete. Well, it turns out actually that was by design as well. In the story of Faust, it talks about excuse me, how he actually put a broken pentagram in the window to not only beckon but bind Satan to that home, because he wanted a relationship. You know, he wanted to benefit from, you know, the powers of the dark side or whatever. So it's not by an accident. It is definitely by design. And I even found there's a group there called the Satanic Underground of Washington, D.C. I don't want to say too much about them because I don't know a lot about them, and I really don't want to know personally. I'm not interested in what these guys do, but I do quote it in the conclusion of the book, you know, what they've got on their website, found to be quite disturbing. And look, the point is, I think Beltway Fever is in part some sort of satanic mind control that's going on there, but it goes deeper than that. It's not just a technology. It's not a ritual technique. There's more to it. Which I find extremely, that was, again, I was really, really disturbed as I was writing the conclusion, based on some of the evidence that points to specifically Colonel Michael Aquino, who had trained there in D.C., Army Intelligence, part of the Psychological Warfare Department, and he allegedly was involved in mind control techniques on people that included sex, drugs, and shock therapy. So, you know, I think there's a lot of that going on there in D.C. But the bottom line is, why I'm relating this to UFOs is because I really believe that some of these entities that are hanging out in Washington, D.C. are demonic, or at least that's what our ancestors would call them, certainly what the Vatican calls them. And they do manipulate people. And, you know, I mean, I figured...
And you think they're related to UFOs in what way?
Well, because UFO activity didn't start to increase in D.C., at least as far as we know, until the 40s. But they were clearly there before then, but the activity really started to increase, or at least the reports started to increase in the 1940s, around the same time that this boy was possessed, according to the Catholic Church. The funny thing is, he didn't even know. I should say the odd thing was, he didn't even, during the daytime, if you talked to him and told him what he did the night before, he would have no knowledge of it whatsoever. Sort of like this shooter in Aurora, Colorado. He's claiming amnesia. He may be right. He may not know on some level because he's so badly mind controlled. It's compartmentalization. You know what they say, they split the personality. So it's possible that... look, if they can control a 13-year-old boy, they could certainly control other people that are older. And I mean, I just figured that it's possible that I know it sounds really crazy, but I think it's a very possible, plausible, actually, explanation that for the behavior, the irrational, inhuman behavior of our so-called elected leaders. Once they get there, they typically do not represent the will of the public and don't even seem to care anymore because they have, you could write it off as special interest groups, but like I say, I kind of figured, why would anybody, alien or otherwise, go to Washington, D.C. if they're not welcome there unless they had an agenda? You know, because in the second book, I've got over 900 reports from 1850 to the spring of 2011, and it's ongoing, by the way, which I find this very disturbing that they can just go in and out of D.C. with impunity. They have to have an agenda. And
okay,
I think
now when you say they're going in and out, you're now talking about UFOs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know who they are or what they want, but they're capable. I would think that they are capable, the bad guys are certainly capable of. And here's why I say this, is because, you know, we have a mutual friend in Jerry Wills, and he's probably listening to this show right now. But he had told me that the good guys are here covertly using their telepathy to seed beneficial thoughts into people's heads at times when it could actually do the most good for us. And it's being done simply because to counteract or counterbalance some of the things that the dark side is here doing, have been doing covertly for a long time.
Okay, so just to make sure I understand where we're coming from here, are you saying that, number one, there are entities, normally we refer to them as demons, that inhabit Washington, D.C. by design, and that these are some type of extraterrestrials?
Or extra-dimensional beings, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Both. I mean, look, that one picture that Mr. Allen took July 16, 2002, shows us some sort of wormhole stargate appearing in the sky as these UFOs literally jumped across the sky and into the hole and disappeared. So they can come and go.
Now, you have that in your book.
It's on the website at unicusmagazine.com. It's also, I think I have links to it on the excerpt, the free sample of the book. On some of the pictures, if you click on them, it'll take you to my free DC UFO image archive. There's stuff there that the military really doesn't want you to see. They've gone out of their way to try and censor that information. But, you know, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you said earlier, people have a right to know.
Yeah. Okay, so the connection between this demon possession, if you will, of Washington, D.C., and the UFOs is that they are, in part, responsible for some of these UFO sightings. Is that what
yeah.
we're... Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously they're not all. I mean, some of it could be our own stuff, but...
All right, we have to step away for break. All right, folks, we will be back right after this, so don't go away.
Kevin Smith
Show. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest this evening, Robert Stanley. Robert, when we went away for break, we had been discussing these things that normally people refer to them as demons. One of the problems when we use this word, and I talked about this a little bit the other night, the word demon is an English bastardization of a Greek word, daimon. And in Greek, it only means spirit. And it would be used, for instance, if someone is in good spirits, it'd be, you would use this word. it is used in the New Testament. It is used also in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew Scriptures, and has come to have some theological ornaments on it. There are all kinds of theological books that have been written now about demons, and these portray demon as being something evil. So it has that common usage now in the English language. Are these beings that you're talking about, do they fit the theological framework, or are they something else outside of that?
I'm not a theologian. I do quote some passages from the Bible in other areas in the conclusion that would be supportive of that. I would have to say that you're right, though. We're talking about souls that have fallen from grace through their thoughts and deeds. And some of them could be completely human, demonic humans that are doing this. Others could be reptilian. The Gnostics talked about this. They were actually pretty clear. And I have a feeling this is why all their books were burned, by the Romans, because that this was clearly outlined by them, stating that these lords, archons, demons, whatever you want to call them, that there was these dark entities, souls, that had gone to the dark side, and they really all they wanted to do was control others, and through manipulation and fear, that they actually feed off of the negative emotions that are generated in humans when we do harmful things and think negative thoughts.
So these are spirits? Are they beings of some kind?
Well, here's the thing. We all have, I assume that most of all of us have souls. So you could say we're spirit beings as well, living in a physical body. And I'm not talking about ghosts, no. I think, to be clear, I'm talking about a other dimensional type of entity that operates or is aware of the fact that it operates, unlike most of us here. You know, these guys are both good and bad, are aware of the fact that they have a soul and it is quite operational.
Okay, now in your book you give us some examples of some stories from various witnesses who say they have encountered these beings in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Tell us, just pull one out of your hat and tell us about it.
I was intrigued by the security guard that was working at late in the middle of the night, claims that he saw a reptilian type of entity standing in the shadows of a very rough part of the neighborhood in D.C. Other people, they say that they have seen human beings that are completely human, and that would include George Adamski, claims that he was in touch with human extraterrestrials there in D.C. and actually filmed them flying over one of the homes there in Silver Spring. So the demon cat that lives in the Capitol I find quite curious, because it only shows up at times of national tragedy, which is fitting again with what I said before about demons in general, or fallen souls, fallen angels, however you want to call it. They feed off the negative energy. That entity has been in the Capitol for over 100 years.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
100 years ago or so, yeah, Somebody saw something that they have reported. It has been reported by others down through this 100 years,
yeah,
and it has come to be known as the demon cat.
Right.
What makes it a demon cat?
The fact that it's a non-physical apparition that can do physical things, like leave footprints in the marble floor and walls. It has glowing red eyes. It's usually, when you first encounter it, it is the size of a house cat, and it typically will grow to the size of a tiger in front of the eyes of the witness, and then vanish, which obviously scares the bejesus out of the person that's witnessing it. I think some security personnel have actually fired their weapons in the building at this thing, which caused quite a commotion. So, it's, I don't know if it's even a cat. You know, this could just be some trick that is occurring, you know, with these entities are very good at manipulating our minds or our perception. And it's hard to say how long they've been around, but, you know, like I said, the Gnostics were making the claim that we've been invaded a long time ago, and that these archons, demons, were basically running the show and had been for some time, and that they were, you know, the ones that set up institutions that would control men, government, religion, was all designed to control us and also keep us at each other's throats.
James Forrestal, first director of the CIA, allegedly committed suicide. That's the official story. And the story is that he either jumped or was pushed, but the official story, he jumped out of a 16th story window at the Bethesda Hospital, committing suicide, and as he jumped, he was screaming something about "we're being invaded."
Right. Yeah. What year that was, Kevin? Because I don't have that in front of me.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What year that was?
No, I don't remember the exact year. But he was the first director of CIA, and he wanted all of the UFO information to go public. And when he started making noises about it had to go public, they locked him up in the Bethesda Hospital as being mentally unstable. And the next thing you know is he's dead on the ground, and the story is he jumped from a 16th story window.
Right. And his family felt that he was murdered. The reason I asked is because in 1952, the government did feel that we were being invaded, and as you can see from the excerpt from my book, one of the segments that I quote there is allegedly during the July of 1952, we sent up jets to intercept, and they were vaporized or beamed up. I don't know. Oh, they just never returned. They disappeared visually and off of the radar. They were gone, never to return. And so this was obviously construed as a hostile act on the part of these people or non-human entities. So I do think that there's reason for the secrecy to some extent, but the fact that it's still going on and right now, I mean in 2012, there's on my blog, there's you'll see that there's 27 cases have already occurred this year that we know of, probably more, and a lot of them were captured on video.
Okay, 27 cases of what?
UFO activity in Washington, D.C. proper.
Okay. Are jets still disappearing?
Not that I know of, mm-hmm. But I do know that in when I first got involved in this, with those photographs that were taken in July 16, 2002, 10 days later, they showed up again and were chased by the Air National Guard out of Andrews Air Force Base, and of course they denied that they were chasing anything, even though people on the ground saw it happening. If jets are still disappearing, we're not hearing about it. And in fact, in the 50s, people were being told that, you know, it was mechanical errors that caused these pilots to either crash or disappear. Usually they would say, well, they ditched in the water, we couldn't find any debris. That's what the family members and friends were told. And I got that information from Frank Festino Jr. The book is called... It's called Shoot Them Down, Flying Saucer Wars of 1952. the foreword by Stanton Friedman. Anyway, apparently there's been a lot of activity going on with the military, specifically in the D.C. area. Naturally, you would think, you know, I mean, it is a seat of power, so obviously people would be attracted to it if they have some interest in our systems and also any idea of trying to control it. Like I said, you know, if it's also covert, it started to make sense to me that what we would call possession, right, what the Catholic Church calls possession, really might actually be another level of alien activity that goes hand in glove with the abduction phenomenon.
Well, possession, of course, is mind control. You strip all the theological layers off of it, and you have one being controlling the thinking and actions of another being. And so it is mind control. And we do know that the government, they've admitted over the years, doing research into mind control. And, of course, one of the most famous places where that came out was in the Church committee hearings. Senator Church put the CIA under the microscope. And out of those hearings, we found lots and lots of stuff that people were not aware of. And this Montauk Project information has come to the public primarily through the hearings that Senator Church held. And in all of that, we find the government involved in mind control experiments and projects. And so that by its definition, one being controlling the mind and actions, behavior of another being, that's what is at the core and the heart of what the churches call demon possession. And so it can't, I think, on the front end of it, even be considered to be a good thing. And yet it's a reality. It happens. It's going on. Do you think that there is sort of a dark force shield, if you will, or umbrella over D.C. so that when the politicians step into that beltway, they undergo this personality change without them knowing it, or do they know it?
You know, you're not the first person to ask that question, and I really don't know what they know. I have seen by example, though, that it's possible a person can be controlled.
All right, we have to step away. We'll get the rest of that answer when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my conversation this evening with author and radio host Robert Stanley. As we went away for break, Robert, I had asked the question about do these guys know, guys and gals, when they get off the airplane there in D.C., that a personality shift comes over them? And you had begun to answer that question, so let me allow you to finish answering the question.
Okay. The short answer is I really don't know, but I think that if a person does discover that they are under that kind of manipulation, they're not in a position to simply walk away. JFK would be a perfect example of that, where he grew a conscience in the middle of being, trying to help humanity instead of simply just direct the herd in whatever direction that the shadow government wants it to go. based on our previous conversation, you know, what we said earlier, I would have to say that, you know, it is evil, whether it's alien or not. I mean, look, I personally believe we're all related, regardless of what planet you come from or what dimension you're in, we're all coming from the same place. So, you know, it's unfortunate that this Earth has been, as some people say, fallen for a long time, and it's not easy. We're all tempted, but some of us actually fall very deeply into the darkness, and because there's an allure there, you know, it's they manipulate us with the illusion of power over others, and you know, wealth, fame, and it's damaging not only to us as a society, but anybody who gets caught up in that, you know, religiously, you might call it, you know, sell your soul to the devil. But
okay, so but let me ask you about the relationship,
yep,
between this dark side and the geometry of the layout of Washington, D.C. But preparatory to that, is the shadow government really these archons or these other dimensional beings that are exerting this influence that you talk about? Is that really the shadow government?
In my opinion, yeah. Whether those guys know it or not, the people that are the elite of this world are really just puppets for the dark overlords, archons, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, one of the things that people can look at if they go to my website at unicusmagazine.com and click on articles, there's an article there called The Covert Controllers. And the Gnostics talked about not only was there a reptilian form of Archon, but there was another one that looked, a lot of people claim it is the Greys. I don't think so. I think it is something else that has actually been photographed and known for some time. The Gnostics, like I said, they described it as like an embryo. And like I said, there's pictures that were taken, infrared pictures taken by Trevor Constable out in the desert that show this. Even NASA captured pictures during the Tether experiment of this kind of entity. According to I know this is not really very credible, but Carlos Castaneda's in his conversations with Don Juan, who claimed to be a descendant of the Toltecs,
mm-hmm,
culture, they also knew about this particular, what they called, inorganic entity that was a foreign installation in our minds. These things are look like amoeba, but they are, I think they're genetically modified to basically, like a tick, you know, suck the blood. What these guys do, or what they're designed to do, is every time we, as humans, give off this negative dark energy, it is absorbed by these amoeba-like creatures, and they are later harvested by other entities because they feed off it. Here's why I'm saying this. I know this sounds a little weird because it's slightly out of context, so I'm going to try and put it into context. Is that the souls, regardless of whether they're human beings or other life forms, when a soul detaches itself from the source, let's just call it heaven, when you lose that connection to the light, the only thing you're left with is darkness, okay, whether you're human or otherwise. So what is happening is that these guys, they are parasitic. And that is one of the reasons that they manipulate us in such a fashion. They treat us like cattle in that regard. And more importantly, Kevin, they also are preventing us from leaving here. And that is criminal. There's nothing wrong with this planet, but we were never designed. We're visitors here. Our souls didn't originate here. And at some point, we're supposed to migrate back to the source. Not allowed.
Okay. All right, so now let's move to the geometry of Washington, D.C. Now, everybody all over the world has seen these documentaries that talk about the various sacred geometric patterns that are built into the design of the city itself, Washington, D.C. Now, is the presence of these dark side beings a result of that geometry being built into the city? Or was the geometry the result of the presence of the dark side beings? Which came first, the chicken or the egg here?
Well, that's a tough question. It seems to me that they chose that location very carefully, and they being in part the Vatican. You see that there is architecturally there are similarities between St. Peter's Basilica and in Rome at the Vatican, and also at the Washington, particularly the National Mall there with the obelisk. The Capitol building, as I told you before, is a takeoff of one of the seven hills in Rome where they had the Capitolium.
Okay.
It is a temple of Jupiter or Jove. Because prior to the Romans adopting Christianity, they were they had a different system, and Jove or Jupiter, depicted as a man, was the highest god of all the gods in their pantheon. So, and what I find really curious is the senators actually would seek some kind of advice from this. I mean, I can't imagine them sitting there talking to a statue, really. That makes no sense whatsoever, unless they were insane, but, politicians. There is a direct relationship between the Vatican and Washington, D.C., and that includes the geometry. It connects to ritual magic is something that is very much well known, but most people who've never done it don't recognize how prevalent it is, and that would include even in the military. Are we up against a break, or can I elaborate on that?
Well, you've got about a minute.
Okay, so here's the basic bottom line, is that it is, as I point out in the conclusion, that it is an accepted practice in the U.S. military to accept Satanists into the ranks of the armed forces and Luciferians. And unfortunately, they take a benign view of this, that supposedly there's nothing evil about Satanists any longer. So they are welcome within the Pentagon and the U.S. military.
Well, of course, Michael Aquino's presence, Colonel Aquino's presence, would bear testimony to that. Colonel Aquino is, or at least was at one time, I suppose still is, the high priest of the Temple of Set,
right,
which is a satanic organization, and was the first satanic chaplain in the U.S. military.
Right, but he'd also been convicted of child molestation at the Presidio in San Francisco. So
convicted or accused?
Oh, I thought he was convicted.
Yeah, we need to be careful about that, because I'm not sure. I think there were some accusations. I don't know if there was a conviction of that.
Well, if there was, he was conveniently moved to Washington, D.C. after the event, sort of like they do with the priests, Kevin. We know that that's going on, and it is much like the Montauk Project. The priests, as I was told yesterday, met with some people locally here. They said that it has nothing to do with sex. It's all about mind control and turning a person, splitting their personality. I'm sorry. Look, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but...
Okay. Bear the bad news after the break. Because it just took over. All right, we'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and my sympathy to you for whatever kept you away from the first hour. Here's hoping you never have to face that tragedy again. We're talking this evening with Robert Stanley, who is a researcher, investigator, author, and radio host, and as we went away for break, you said, Robert, that you hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I had to cut you off. So go ahead with your bad news. Let's hear it.
You know, we've been discussing this for a number of years, actually, now, Kevin, and I find that people are starting to pay more attention now. I think eventually there will become a tipping point where people realize that we do have a problem in Washington, D.C., and it's not just politics. There's a component there or a complex system that's been put in place that is basically enslaving mankind and has done so for a long time. So one of the things that I would have to say is that I do think there's something we can do about it. Obviously, but we're never going to do anything about it until we know that there's a problem and that we can't wait for the cavalry to just come, you know, marching in over the horizon. It's incumbent upon us to do something. So in September, I am planning a marathon series of shows that will be part of a process that will hopefully deal with this problem in a very peaceful and loving manner. Again, using a level of soul energy that typically is ignored. But I know there's people out there waking up to that, so I really think that we can do something. We dabbled in it last year, but I think that this year we really need to push harder, and I'll be releasing more details. I obviously don't want to tip my hand too soon, but I think this audience knows that we have to do something. We can't just sit around.
Okay, now based on everything that you've told us about these dark side entities and how they are basically controlling the minds of the people we send to Washington, and based on your answer when I ask, is that the real shadow government? And you said yes. Based on that, are you saying then that the government of the United States of America is demon-possessed?
Well, look, I wasn't the first person to say that. You know, the Iranians have been calling us the Great Satan for some time, and I used to laugh at it and think, you know, what are they talking about, right? And now I'm starting to see that, look, even John McCain was going around on radio shows saying, I'm doing the Lord's work in Satan's city. And then he'd laugh about it. And I thought, and by the way, this... Well, the first time I heard it, as I was actually working on the conclusion of my book, I almost fell down. I was like, wait a minute. Did I hear that right? Did he really just say that? You know, see, I can't get away from this, Kevin. It's not just a hobby. It has become, it feels like a mission. And I mean, this has seriously kicked my butt more than once, where I just mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I felt like, man, I can't... I don't know how I'm supposed to keep going on this deal, but I have a feeling that if I push harder and if enough people wake up and we all start working together, we will solve this problem.
Okay, but I want to ask the question again. Are you saying that the government of the United States at this point is demon-possessed or at least controlled by evil demons?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'd have to say that is the case. Now, obviously, there's good people in Washington, D.C. that would have nothing to do with Satan intentionally. But unintentionally, yes. I mean, I'll give you a clear example. Last year, when allegedly Osama bin Laden was murdered, that was specifically done at a time when, ritualistically, that was prime time for the dark side. And... as you could see, what happened, there was a bloodlust. There was people celebrating. What they don't understand is What they didn't know is that by doing that, they were releasing a tremendous amount of negative energy that what the dark side was feeding off of. Okay, whether or not bin Laden was dead is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that they wanted people to believe it, and you could see the reaction right away. Okay, this is part of the way the dark side operates. This is why they do ritualistic murder. Human sacrifice has been around for thousands of years. It's not because we're incompetent or ignorant. It's because we are being told to do these things. If you recall, like the Aztecs and the Mayans and stuff, they did this to appease the gods.
In the case of bin Laden, I have serious doubts that he was assassinated on the date and at the time and at the place that is the official story. I think he was dead in 2001. But nevertheless, I have to say, honestly, that I think putting a bullet in bin Laden was a positive for humanity.
Okay.
Bin Laden is responsible for a very, very long list of deaths and was not finished. Bin Laden had plans into the future to continue killing people. And sometimes the only way to stop someone is to really stop them. And I think with bin Laden, there really is no choice. If you had the shot, you had to take it. Or many, many, many more innocent people were going to die. Now, I realize that in our audience, and perhaps even you, there are people who disagree with that view. And that's okay. Freedom is that you get to have your view. My view is there are a few folks, not a lot, but a few on the planet, so completely evil and so completely destructive of other human life that the only way you can stop them is to truly stop them.
Well, Kevin, but as a police officer, don't you know that it is possible to apprehend and incarcerate people? Even the most evil people can be captured at some point?
If they let you.
Oh, okay. But it seemed, if I read the report correctly about what allegedly happened at that compound, they could have captured him.
Well, that's a different discussion.
All right.
And by that, I mean, could they? See, I don't think he was there, and I don't think they killed him. That's the point. I think he was already dead, and that's a story we've been fed. If I were confronted with bin Laden and he blinked wrong,
right,
I'd dot his I.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay, I want to open the telephone lines, and what we will do is invite our audience to give us a call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we'd like for you to join this conversation. What do you think about what we've been talking about here tonight? The real shadow government perhaps is not human. The real shadow government perhaps are the archons. Other dimensional beings of evil intent, dark intent. 623-444-5889. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Steve from Georgia, Kevin.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen. Robert, it is truly an honor to be able to engage you here like this. I have both your books. They're both, in fact, I'm holding Close Encounters on Capitol Hill in my hand, and I'm about halfway through it. It's one of 8 or 10 books I'm currently reading, and I'm fascinated by your work. I especially appreciate the way you bring critical thinking to it, and you don't pander to sensationalism, but you actually have some pretty hard evidence here. And having said that, let me just say I admire your restraint, you know, because as you're speaking here on the air on the Kevin Smith Show, you're holding back. There's a lot you know that you're not saying, and I would urge Kevin Smith's audience to purchase your books and read them, and they'll be amazed, and it will help them connect a lot of the dots, you know, where they might stand and scratch their heads over a number of things that are going on, that if they expose themselves to your research and the conclusions that you reach, it's going to make a lot of things make a lot of sense to them.
Wow. Well, thank you, Steve. And well, you know the old saying that the truth is stranger than fiction? I really didn't need to embellish upon the historic record. All I needed to do is pull it together, collate it in such a way that you can see a clear timeline, and you see a pattern. I think anybody with half a brain can see a pattern emerge from the data that shows that the alien activity is covert, it's ongoing, there has to be some sort of agenda, and unfortunately, as I say, it doesn't seem to be benevolent. In general, there obviously are some cases that are benevolent, but unfortunately, our government allegedly turned down that assistance. So once again, it reminds me of what we've been talking about. They may not be able to cut the dead with the bad guys.
Well, Mr. Stanley, I would like to echo your assertion that our government is demon-possessed, and I'll go a step further and say that a lot of our politicians give demons a bad name, you know, and and I'd like to also express something about the Archons and the Gnostic worldview. I share that worldview, and I'm acquainted with the work of Stefan Heller and John Lash, and I think it's a shame that John Lash isn't submitting to interviews anymore. He's not doing that. That's a shame, because he would make a great guest on this show. His book, Not in His Image, goes a long way to explaining exactly what these Archons are and what their involvement is in the human race. And I would also urge the listeners to this show to acquaint themselves with the work of John Lash and Stefan Heller, and there's a good website, gnosis.org, out there, and to get hold of the Nag Hammadi scriptures and read some of these ancient texts. You know, Kevin, that's something that you urge people to do a lot. Get hold of the ancient texts, the classic works, and acquaint yourself with them. So with that, I'll get off the air now and let somebody else have a chance, but Mr. Stanley, let me let you know that I am a huge fan of yours. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Kevin, I am so not used to that.
You're what?
I'm really, if anybody would... If you know me, I am just a regular, ordinary person. I live, you know, I'm a family man, and of course, my wife and son always keep me humble, because they're always, you know, pointing out my flaws, at every chance they could get. I love them dearly, but I'm just saying, there's nothing special about me. Okay, anybody could have done this research, but for some reason it fell on my shoulders, and nobody else wants to pick up where I left off. At least, not that I can tell. So I have to finish the mission, and it's very, what you said to me, caller, Steve, is very encouraging, because there are times when I just really wish I'd never had gotten involved in this.
All right, let's go back to the telephone, and let me remind our listeners who are not in the USA and not in Canada, you can call the number 623-444-5889. Or there is an additional option for you. If you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. Right above it is a link for flash messages. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Tony from Denver.
And, hello, Tony.
Robert, I was the 303 that talked to you earlier.
Hey, how are you?
Great. And about that earlier show tonight, I hope Kevin gives you a chance to promote it a little bit. It was exceptional. And, man, Robert, I just can't thank you enough like I did earlier.
You're promoting it now.
Wish I could give out the website and what the name of the show is.
Oh, it's, yeah, Unicus Radio Hour. And, you guys get, you should insult me a little bit more. I'll feel a lot more comfortable, really.
Well, let me get to my question here. Earlier, I was so happy. You were talking about how our souls don't belong here, Robert. And on your show earlier tonight, you talked about how the ideal way to prepare yourself for death is to, you know, have peace in your heart. And I forget how else you put it, but we might not have to reincarnate here. Could you expand upon that for us?
Yeah, it's a book I read recently by Nigel Kerner about the Greys harvesting our souls, or attempting to. I don't think they're the only ones. My understanding, this has been going on for some time. The manipulation of the mind and the soul is pretty much one and the same thing. They fear us. The dark side actually fears our power at an enlightened being. And so, in any case, what I said before is that they feed off of the negative energy that we generate when we do vicious things to ourselves and other people. But the real problem is that they know, the dark side knows, that if we hang on to negative thoughts and emotions and actions, that we will keep reincarnating here and being stuck in this physical realm and never really ascend to the back to the source. And so this is another reason why they're constantly provoking us and manipulating us to have negative emotions and hold on to them.
Yeah, Mr. John Lear talks about this too. He says you have to live your life with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed. And always tell your loved ones that you love them and give them a big hug every morning and really mean it when you tell it to them.
Yes, yes, right. Peace, love, and unified, yes, right. You've got it right. And, yes, John Lear is correct about that. The truth is the truth. It's not really complicated. It's just being withheld from us. And now that I'm more clear about what's going on, the process here that keeps us enslaved, our salvation is at hand, okay? But it's in our hands. It's not up to any alien entities. For me, the playing field has been leveled, okay? I am not intimidated by the dark side. I don't care where they come from or what kind of technology they have. It's irrelevant. You know, my soul is mine, and I will care for it the way I see fit. And we all have that ability, and that's really what they don't want us to know it, and they sure as heck don't want us to unite on that level. And I'm getting ready to help people do that this year. We're going to take on Washington, D.C. We are going to go full frontal on them, but it's going to be spiritual warfare, just like it says in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the sons of light versus the sons of darkness. It's nothing new, but we got to finish what we started a long time ago.
Well, I just can't thank you enough, and I love the work that you do. Keep it up, and don't ever stop.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA or outside of Canada, feel free to send me a flash message with your question or comment. I'll read it on the air, as long as it pertains to our show, and we'll ask our guests to comment on it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hi, Kevin, and hi, Robert. This is Victoria from Washington State.
Hello, Victoria.
Hi. I'm glad to hear your show tonight, Robert, and I congratulate on the work that you're doing because it's really needed. I do want to make one comment on the geography or the shape of the geography around Washington, D.C., and I just want to bring to your mind let you ponder this a little bit, that Washington, D.C. is surrounded, one, by Maryland, which is the mother of Jesus, and two,
the Virgin.
Virginia, which is also a repetition of the mother of Jesus. And so I think there are energies there that can correct what has gone afoul, and that someone has put these energies in place that are holy and Christ-like. And so I do want to ask you one question, and I know another person that has talked a little bit about this is Jay Weider, and he has talked about this text that was written by Carlos Castaneda about the archons. And I was wondering, just for my own edification, because I can't find it anymore on Weider's site, but I was wondering if you can source that particular text that Carlos Castaneda talks about these parasitical entities that do suck the energy and destroy our soul essence to the bare minimum, so that we really just kind of walk around like functioning zombies, and how it does talk about how we can get that back. And I'd like you to, if you can, reference that, and then people in the audience, if you want to find that and utilize it, that there is a way to utilize that. I'll listen off the air. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
As I said earlier, if you go to unicusmagazine.com and click on articles, the second article down is called Our Covert Controllers, and it quotes in there and cites the book. It was the last book ever published. It's actually a compilation of things that Castaneda wrote, but in there it is, in that article, that reference is quoted. As I said before, this is what the Toltecs knew. It's what the Gnostics knew. The Gnostics called them archons. The Toltecs called them flyers. At least that's according to Castaneda or Don Juan, whatever. But the fact is, you'll actually see pictures. If you go to that article that I just told you about, you'll actually see photographs of them. And, you know, as far as Maryland and Virginia, what that is originally is a Catholic colony that was granted by the King of England, so that the Catholics could worship there. And, you know, I wrote extensively about the historic connection between the Vatican and Washington, D.C., and that area in general is an extension of the Vatican. And I think I did a pretty good job, you know, historically digging. Like I said, I didn't know this going into it. It's just the information as I found it is presented there. I'm making a case. I know it sounds a little outlandish, but if you're interested, I think it really helps explain some of the behavior, as we've been discussing here, that's going on in Washington, D.C. That just, you know, look, I'm open. If somebody can figure this out, if they have a better explanation, I would love to hear it. I really would.
Okay, we have to step away for a break here in about 15 seconds. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right. Folks, this evening we're talking with Robert Stanley. We're talking about something that you've seen in the movies, if you've watched Star Wars, the dark side of the Force. We'll be back right after this.
Virginia, and you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and let's go straight to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
I'm calling from Davenport.
And your name?
Kevin.
Your name is Kevin, okay. Go ahead, you're on the air.
And, okay, basically I was just calling to sort of clarify something regarding John Lear. I mean, John Lear had talked about souls being captured.
Right.
From this planet. Every single soul was captured from aliens and taken to the moon. This is just a couple of years ago. I mean, I heard it on the Kevin Smith Show. So, I mean, how do you explain that?
You mean, why does he think that? Or is it true?
Well, yeah, I mean, why? How does somebody come about with that? Yeah, I mean...
I don't know who his sources are, but, you know, he's dealt in the shadow.
John Lear.
No, he just told you, Kevin. He doesn't know who John Lear's sources are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'd have to ask John Lear about that. I'm not sure that I agree with it, you know, but it's an interesting theory, and it makes for good radio. I know that. John definitely knows how to get people to engage in the theater of the mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of disinformation, but I've got a question for Kevin.
Okay.
How do you, what are your feelings about the 911 attack? I mean, do you think it's our government has told us the truth about it, or what?
Well, the show is not about that. But I will tell you that, no, I do not think we have been told the truth about that or the Kennedy assassination, either Kennedy assassination, nor have we been told the truth about any other major tragedy that has happened in this country. And it is a cooperative propaganda effort between the government and the media. And if the media reports it, if major media reports it, divide it by 1,000, and you might have one molecule of truth in it. So, no, I don't think we've been told the truth, but I do not subscribe to any particular theory of how it happened. I've read and I've watched videos, and I've seen many different theories about how it all went down and who was behind it and all of that, and I've run the gamut. I don't subscribe to any of those theories because I don't see enough supporting evidence for any of them to make one stand up and just gleam with light and say, this is it. But no, I don't think we've been told the truth.
I agree.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Kevin, it reminds me of what we were talking about earlier. You'd asked me if the U.S. government was demonic. According to the Gnostics, all governments, all institutions are possessed or run by the archons to our detriment. And, you know, like I said, there's good people in bad places, obviously, but generally speaking, the system is designed to enslave us and for us to serve them in a sense that we are feeding them some sort of negative dark energy that they can actually draw some sustenance from.
Okay. Let's go back to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin and Robert.
Hello, Mike.
And I just wanted to say touche to what he's saying. The thing about it is we've always been at war because you can, if you're a religious person or a spiritual person who reads the Bible, the Apostle Paul said that we battle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in high places.
Right.
And then also there was several cases in the Old Testament. One was where I think it was Prophet Daniel was calling for Archangel Michael to come. And 30 days passed before he ever showed up. And he said, I heard you that you called, but I was battling against the Prince of Persia.
Right.
So there's always been, apparently, these battles going on between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And like you, Robert, I don't have any problem with these things. I've already confronted them and shown them that I wouldn't take anything off of them. They had no power over me.
Well, that's what they fear most, caller, actually, is that they don't want to be exposed, and because they do, they are weak. I mean, anybody that does a cowardly act like what happened in Colorado recently in that movie theater was totally cowardly. But this is typical of the dark side. You know, they know we won't just go quietly with them, you know, and cooperate. Yeah, sure, torture me, you know. I mean, lie to me. No, we don't want that. We, as souls, do not want to be violated by our free will, or any part of our being doesn't want to be violated, you know. But so they have to be very covert about it, very manipulative. And
so, you know, it's stated in the Old Testament that man has dominion over even the angels. So, but we don't do that. We're so negative in our approach to spirituality that we think, oh, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. We've got to have somebody else doing it for us.
Understood. But it's changing, sir. It is changing. I promise you, it is changing. You will not see that on the news, but it is changing.
Correct. I understand that. And, you know, most of the people that do astral travel, they have to pass through the lower astrals, and that's where those forces of darkness hang out a lot. And when you're going through, they will attempt to grab hold of you. But if you just open up and let the light shine from inside your source, yourself, they'll go away. They see the light.
Sir, you probably haven't heard me talk about this, and I know we don't have time right now, but I actually had that experience when I saved a boy who was possessed back in 1985. I intervened, and the demons that were possessing him actually started attacking me. And I ended up meditating upon a mountain near my home, and I left my body and I ascended into the light. Of course, I'm back. I didn't stay there, but I can tell you there's beings there, and they're quite loving, and we are all related to them, and they do care very much about us. Absolutely care very much about us. And I'll tell you this much also, is that once you transition over into that higher dimension, you're right. There's no more dark beings. They're not attacking you. It's a beautiful, wonderful, loving place, and it's our birthright. It's our home. That's where we need to return to at some point.
All right, Mike, thank you for the call. Excellent questions and thoughts as well. We have a flash message from Patrick in Australia. Good day, Kevin and Robert. Robert, do you ever get spiritually attacked, and if so, could you please give some details? Also, what you describe isn't only happening in the U.S. Cheers, Patrick. Okay, so do you get spiritually attacked? And if so, give some details.
Well, it's not just spiritual, but physically. You know, I mean, these beings, they're not just in a, like you, the other caller was saying, is they exist in dimensions very close to us, and they do manipulate our minds, which causes physical harm to occur. Last week I did a couple shows, and I felt that I was really broadcasting like we're doing tonight. We're broadcasting truth, love, and light. It's going out there, okay? And the dark side hates that. They really fear being exposed, and they certainly don't want us to become awake and aware and activated. So what happened was, the night before, Wednesday night, I received an email, personal, really nasty. Somebody that clearly knows me and was being manipulated to simply write me hate mail. What a terrible person I am and stuff like that. My work is worthless and stuff. And I knew where it was coming from. I could feel it immediately, you know, that in my solar plexus. I felt like somebody just punched me. But I recognized also that this was an attack. And I just said, look, guys, I know what you're doing. It isn't going to work. Nice try. Okay, so Thursday, the next day comes around, I do two shows, and I felt like we really did some good work. That night, the house was egged. Some of the local kids came by, and they threw a dozen eggs at the house. That was also the night that the attack occurred in Aurora, Colorado. And I just knew when I woke up, on Friday morning that you know, the dark side had been very busy. Rise of the Dark Knight, yeah, okay. Well, guys, you know, keep it up. Because you're not going anywhere. You're on a highway to hell, and you're never going to ascend until you can change your thought process to that of love and unity. and compassion and creativity. You know, it's pretty darn simple. God is not judging you. You're judging yourself by hanging on to all that negative emotions, trying to harm people for your own benefit, supposedly. You know, you're gaining nothing. You're gaining absolutely nothing.
All right, we have a flash message that came in from the UK from Holt, I presume is the way to pronounce it, H-O-L-T, Holt, in the UK. And he says, I appreciate that you have done a lot of research for your books. However, this sounds a lot like the same stuff the churches have been saying for centuries. What's new about this?
Wow. The church, the only church that has actually even admitted that extraterrestrials are could be existing is the Vatican, and they did that in 2008. I think really to just to have something to fall back on when disclosure or whatever occurs. Whoever you are in the UK, you haven't read my work. Otherwise, you'd know for a fact. I mean, just go to my website at unicusmagazine.com and click on books. There's plenty of free information there, including the DC UFO image archive that you will not see anywhere else. It's history, okay? But it's been put together. This is history that's been withheld from you. It's the hidden history of Washington, D.C. And it reads like science fiction, but I guarantee you it is not. And it does have a connection to our spiritual side. You may call it religious. I would simply reject that. I am not a religious person. I am a spiritual person, and I am I have experience. Okay, I'm not relying on the teachings of a book. I have experience in this field. Okay, so call me a mystic if you have to put a label on it. I would have to say a mystic or a deist, but I'm certainly not religious, and I'm not promoting any religion.
One of the things that happens very often, I've encountered this over the 12 years of doing the show, that, I can quote from the Mahabharata and nobody cares. It's okay. I can quote from the Bhagavad Gita, nobody cares. It's okay. I can quote from the Dead Sea Scrolls, nobody cares. If I quote I can quote from old Egyptian documents, and that's cool, nobody cares. But if I quote anything that happens also to be in the Bible, I get a flood of email after that with people having allergic reactions. They have no reaction to any other book.
Well, Kevin, my opinion is because it took the Catholic Romans 100 years to come up with that document.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily edited. I mean, come on. It took.
That's not even the issue. The issue is it's an ancient text, and if that ancient text says something that's similar to what we see in the Mahabharata, I use it. It's an ancient text, and I refer to ancient texts all over the place. But the only one anybody ever has a reaction to. And they'll say, well, that's religious. And I think that's nuts. That's just nuts. It's an ancient text. If somebody made a comic book about Bugs Bunny and someone else made that their religious book, would you then toss it? Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this break, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach here, and we're talking with Robert Stanley, and we're talking about material that's in his books, particularly the second book, which is Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. And we've focused in on material that he covers in the book where he talks about these reports. It's not just his opinion. These are based on testimonies of witnesses who have actually seen and experienced these demonic beings in Washington, D.C., one of them in the Capitol building, and I believe that's down in the basement, isn't it, Robert?
Actually seen there, but not always. Like I said, the upstairs, I forget the exact room, but this was verified by a former employee there who used to be a tour guide. He told me, he says, yeah, there's actually footprints of the cat embedded in the marble floor and the wall. It somehow walked up the wall and left these imprints. So like I said, the truth is stranger than fiction. I couldn't make this stuff if I wanted to, which I don't want to. I mean, like I said, I'm not even thrilled to be the messenger on this because I know it really upsets a lot of people. But like I said, I really see something positive coming out of this at some point. I think we can resolve this conflict, and I really feel like we're being tested. Is there like a classroom kind of setting in the sense that, you know, school is not reality. It just prepares you for the real world. And like I said, I feel like I have stepped over there out of the classroom, at least on one occasion. I know I did. And I'd like to do it again sometime. And I'm sure there's a lot more people that would love to do that as well. So I'm hoping that this will be the motivator. This is one of the great motivations that we have. You know, mm-hmm. The dark side actually serves a purpose. You know, they are worthy adversaries, and they do motivate us to reach even more so for the light.
We have just a few minutes left, ladies and gentlemen. We have time for one more, maybe two calls, but you have to do it right now. 623-444-5889. I found it interesting in the flash message from Patrick in Australia. He said, what you're describing is not happening only in the USA. Yes. Do you know of this type of activity happening in other capitals around the world?
Not so much the capitals. When I first started reporting on the Archons as part an extension of what I wrote in the conclusion, because This is an ongoing discovery for me, okay? It's an investigation that's ongoing. And so as I found more information, I've been reporting it. And I was blown away at the amount of people that wrote to me and said, hey, thank you for doing this. I've seen, I have seen what you're describing. You know, it made me, in other words, they felt some comfort to know that they weren't alone and that they weren't crazy and that they actually had seen something that other people were experiencing too. So, it's unfortunate. In a way, it's like I said, it's kind of, this is really an exciting time that we're living in, honestly, that these things are being revealed. Because like I said, I think that's what, at some point we're going to actually do something about it. And I think that time is coming very soon.
You don't expect that those who have been in control and inhabiting Washington, D.C. for all of these many, many years are going to give up without a fight, do you?
No, but here's the thing. They want us to fight. They want us to be angry. They want us to be scared. And so we have to not fight them with fire with fire. We have to bring water to the event. And that's what I was trying to say. You know, there is a method. There's a spiritual technology that can be employed, and it's not complicated. It takes a little coordination. It takes a little community organization for good purposes, and it can be done because, you know, shows like yours and the internet in general, we can actually rally the troops. And I see it happening. I really do. By the way, I think you have a really cool show. But you know what?
What?
Love the most is your music. You have got some of the coolest music. I just love music, but man, where are you pulling all that from?
Well, I'll tell you. The main place is musicalley.com. But I have some music that was sent to me directly by the independent artists. The newest one we played last night is from a group called East Iris. And it's 16-year-old and 17-year-olds in this group, and they're absolutely star power, and do a fantastic job. But most of it comes from musicalley.com, and that's all indie music, all independent artists.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of talented souls on this planet. And I thank God for the internet, really, because now we can kind of all sort of sample some of the goods that are out there, and it's just so amazing to my ears to hear stuff like that. It's so inspiring.
Yeah, but even that, you know, I get email from people who want me to play that sort of wispy, spooky kind of music, you know, that instead of what I play, because they say it will fit my show better. But it doesn't. This show's not about wispy and spooky stuff. It's about strange things and unexplained things, but they happen. Folks, really, this is part of the philosophy, and I'm glad you brought it up, Robert. Those strange things don't happen in wispy, strange places out of the ordinary in your life. Those strange things happen in your everyday life. You see UFOs while you're headed to the grocery store. You see Bigfoot while you're on a camp out with your family. These are things that come into our everyday life. And so the music is the music of our everyday life. We do take a journey into the world of the strange and unexplained, but it's that world coming into our world that causes it. And so the music is music from our everyday life. Anyway, Robert, I think you've done a fantastic job with both of these books, and I think you're doing a fantastic work in trying to wake people up to these realities. And some people, of course, will buy what you're saying, and some people will say, I'm not buying it. And that's just the nature of things, folks. That's just how it is on planet Terra. But, you know, I think what you're doing is really quite brave, and I commend you for doing it.
Thank you.
I would love to answer that telephone call. I think I will. We're almost out of time, though, so, caller, you'll have to be very fast. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm calling from Memphis tonight. I'm standing in the rain.
Oh, wow. Jerry Wills from Memphis, standing in the rain.
Yeah, it's going to storm here any minute, but I've been watching the show. Great show, guys.
Thanks.
It's stellar. Good job, Robert.
Good doing it without you, buddy.
So, I have a request.
Right.
Move out from behind the microphone and give us a big smile. Let us see what you look like.
Missing a tooth. That's what I've been hiding on.
That's all right. Just put a black patch over it.
I got a dental implant coming. It's one of the luxuries of life here in America.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, I'll let you go. I just wanted to give a call and let you know that I was listening, and I really liked it. It's a great show.
Thanks, thank Jerry.
You. All right, good night, guys.
Good night. Yeah, Jerry Wills, the associate host here at the show, and also the executive producer for Expeditions TV. Robert, we're out of time. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment. And after I bring this in for a landing, we'll chat. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Stanley. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. Well, you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.